this morning. All right. Anybody noticed anything different about me today? I just love this part. Y'all are all looking at me like, what happened to her? An explosion took place. Guess what I did not do today? Well, that's true. Thank you. But I also didn't look in the mirror. I got dressed, but I didn't look in the mirror. My husband put his little t-shirt over the mirror in the bathroom, so when I brushed my teeth, I wouldn't say. I don't know what I look like this morning. Is that obvious or what? I got up out of bed, and I got dressed. I did brush my teeth, but I didn't obviously do anything else, and it's just about to drive me nuts. Let me find my brush here. Hold on just a second, because this, oh. I cannot stand hair in my face. Y'all excuse me 1 minute, because the little demonstration is over, and then I'm going to explain this to y'all. Okay, between this little session and the next session, guess where I'll be? I'll be putting on makeup. Okay, I did not look in the mirror today. I did not see what's wrong with me. Would anyone here get up and not look in the mirror and go out anywhere? Would you even go get the newspaper? Now, I know that we all wear varying degrees of makeup. I understand that completely. Some of you may look in the mirror, but you may not change much, and that's fine. Maybe you brush your hair. But who would get up and do what I've done? That doesn't make me anything special. It's just to demonstrate a point to you. I did not change anything. This morning, I skipped about a 40-minute procedure. And if anybody comes up to me and says, well, honey, you look just fine the way you were, I'm just going to slap you. If you think I look fine like this, I'm just going to kill you. But I skipped about a 40-minute procedure. If I look that bad, having skipped a 40-minute procedure, not looking in the mirror, not changing and bringing up to the right, to the standards of the world, what's wrong with me in my face? Can you imagine for 1 second what your heart looks like? Because you won't look in the Word of God and change it to bring it up to His standards. How many times a day do you look in a mirror, powdering your nose or making sure that you're up to the world's standards? How many times a day do you look in God's Word to make sure that you're living up to His standards? I pray you never, as long as you live, pass a mirror or look in a mirror without thinking, is my heart look okay? I pray in the morning when you get up and you see that ugly face and that explosion of hair like mine in the morning that you think, I need to go get in the Word. Because if I look this way, just imagine what my heart looks like. And ladies, that's why we live by fear. That's why we live in doubt rather than faith, because we will not look in God's Word. We learned last night in Hebrews 11:6 that it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. How do you get faith? If you're going to live by faith, how are you going to get it? Maybe some of you were challenged last night. Yes, Debbie, I want to live by faith. I am sick of living by fear. I've lived that way all of my life, fear and doubt, constantly. And I'm sick of it. And honestly, that little example I showed you last night about writing checks on the wrong account for the wrong reasons to satisfy my desires, that has absolutely freed me up. The minute I get scared, it's a little clue to me that I am suddenly off into my resources, not His. I'm trying to fulfill some sort of desire of mine, even if it's a good desire, a worthy desire, a biblical desire. I have somehow missed the boat here. Do you think I am not nervous when I come to speak, especially looking like I do today? Why do you think I snuck in and I didn't even look at anybody? That's embarrassing. I had to literally know, you know what, Lord, you have called me to do this. I am going to go in faith that you've asked me to do something. I'm not going to go in fear, because that's going to be a powerful example. Do you see? We just grab hold of all of His resources. Grab hold of His strength. Write a check on His unlimited resources. So we're going to have to understand how to get that kind of faith. And ladies, the Bible tells us this. Romans 10:17. If you want that kind of faith, here's how to get it. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ, by the word of Christ. Do you want faith? Then you must get more of His word. Now, if you want to continue living in fear, just keep listening to your silly words, or Oprah's, or your friends, or whatever. It's all about words, by the way. Have you figured that out? Your whole life is summed up in words. It will either be your words, your lies, making you fearful, making you afraid, or someone else's words. Or it will be the word of God, and you will be a woman who lives by faith and pleases God. See, the purpose of a mirror is to reveal the truth by reflecting what is real. And we must look in the mirror of God's word so that we can believe him. It tells us who he is, what his purposes are, what his desires are, what his account is. The reason you and I walk around so fearful and so pathetic like paupers who have nothing, street people, is because we won't look in the word of God to know what's in our account. What is our Father doing? What's he all about? You won't do that. Have any of you ever been in a financial situation where you wouldn't dare write a check until you checked the register first to see how much you had in there? You know, pretty slim. I mean, literally down to pennies sometimes. I certainly have. That's, you know, the only way you're going to know what's in your account in Christ. You could have billions in there, and you do, by the way. I mean, it's really incalculable. Billions is our terminology for understanding what's in our account. But it's incalculable. You couldn't count it. But the reason that you feel like a pauper and feel like you just can't trust God is because you don't look at your check register. You don't comprehend. You have gazillions of power. And so you go around powerless. So I want to give you 5 ways to believe God. Do you want to leave here today being a woman who lives by faith, who believes God, who no longer lives by fear but by faith? That's what I want to do. I honestly believe that I have just now come to understand what God's been trying to teach me, maybe since February. I've only been walking in this a few months. I'm so excited and I'm so afraid I'm not going to be able to explain it clearly. I get it clearly in my own heart, but I'm so afraid that it's not going to come out where you're going to leave understanding it. So that's my great prayer. I feel like a kid in a candy store. I'm so excited, ladies, because I don't have much fear anymore. And when I do, I know exactly what account to write a check on. Do you understand? That's what I want for you. Because I see that desire in your hearts. You too live by fear. Every one of you do. Some of you just look less like you live by fear. That's who we are as people. Okay, 5 ways to believe God. First of all, you've got to hear God's word. You must hear it. Romans 10:17. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Ladies, listen to me. You must be in a Bible study. Repeat after me. I must be in a Bible study. I must be in a Bible study. Ladies, if you want faith, you must be in a Bible study. Did anybody misunderstand what I said? Raise your hand. I'll repeat it again. Ladies, there's no other way. You can't get it because I have faith. You can't listen to me today and go for a couple of years, which some of you try to do, and think, yeah, now I've got faith. No, by this afternoon, trust me, you're going to need more faith. And you're going to need more word. If you're going to be looking in a mirror this afternoon, trust me, you're going to need to looking in God's word at some point too. It's just that simple, because you get real messed up throughout the day in your heart. You must be in a Bible study. Very few people can do it on their own. Very few. I'm one of them. I don't have time to be in a Bible study, and that is legitimate. Most of us use that as an excuse, and it's not legitimate. I really don't. I travel and I go into different places, and we actually live in Colorado several months, and I get there or I leave there at different times to where I can't join a Bible study when it first begins. Or I can join, but I'm traveling and I just can't do it. So I really do. I have to study on my own. And ladies, it is very difficult for me. It is very challenging. It is something that is hard to do every day. If you are one of those people that say, well, it's just so hard for me to do that. Well, you're not alone. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. It doesn't matter. I don't care whether you feel like it. Ladies, this none of this is about feelings. Faith has nothing to do with feelings. Those feelings have never led you down a right road, ever. You must get into God's Word. Now, if you're going to have to do it on your own for whatever reason, maybe your work schedule or something like that, then there are some good Bible studies. Cynthia Held, H-E-A-L-D, H-E-A-L-D, it's a little paperback book. Those are very easy, very simple if you've never done a Bible study. That was my first Bible study. There's great Bible studies. Precept Bible studies, oh, if you could just get in precepts. Beth Moore, Christian Women's Club has great Bible studies. You must be in a Bible study. Ladies, you've got to start wherever you are. Do you want to know what I look like when I first started my Bible study? I had Cynthia Held. It was called Becoming a Woman of Excellence. So I'd get my little Bible study, and I'd put it out on the table, and I would get ready to do my Bible study. So I had several things that I did that. First, I'd get my cigarettes. Gosh, it's been so long, I don't remember how to do this. Let's see. I used to have long fingernails. It makes you look so much more cool. And of course, I'd light it. And then I'd open my Bible study. And I'd say, Gary, honey, can you bring me a cup of coffee, please? And I'd just pick up my little Bible and I'd go, oh, man. That is so cool. Wow. God's just so precious, you know? I smoked 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes a day back then. Ladies, I don't care if you've got a carton of cigarettes here and your Bud Light over here. Get into the Word of God. I am serious as a heart attack. You start right wherever you are. If you're a prostitute, then let your customers keep coming in and you keep sitting right here with your Bible. How do you think you're going to get changed? Do you think you're going to get changed and then start believing God? No. You're going to learn to know Him through His Word, diligent study, and then you'll start believing Him. Then you'll start changing. Then you'll stop the smoking. Then you'll stop being a prostitute. Do you see? We keep waiting till the other things get right. The other things won't get right until you get your little self into the Word of God, and I don't care what it takes. Now say that with me. I must be in a Bible study. I must be in a Bible study. You must be. Talked about the words, your voices in your head that, tell me your name. I'm so sorry. Trisha. Trisha talked about the voices in her head. The retreat that I did 18 months ago. That's all about that. All that voices in your head. And ladies, the only way you will replace those voices is with the voice of God and the voice of truth. And that comes through a Bible study. Do y'all all understand that you must be in a Bible study? See, some of us want, we are in Bible study. Some of you, I'm going to step on your toes just a minute. Excuse me. But some of you may have been in a Bible study forever. You wouldn't dare not be in a Bible study. Oh, my. I know the importance of that. I've done it all my life. But see, some of you that do that, you won't let it change you. You just go to the Bible study. It's kind of like going to the hairdresser. Has anybody here ever gone to the hairdresser and you sit down and she says, well, what do you want to do today? What are we going to do here? Oh, nothing. I don't want you to change a thing. I like it just the way it is. I just came here to give you my money and to kind of socialize with people. I don't want to change. Would anybody do that? And yet some of you are in Bible studies and you give your money, you buy your little precept material and that stuff's expensive. And you go there diligently. You stay up till midnight doing your homework. Now, you don't want the homework to change you. You just don't want Leanne or whoever's teaching it to think poorly of you for not having done your homework. Forget God. Now, I know your heart's like that. I know some of you are like that. You're not realizing that's what you're doing if you are. That's really awful. I don't think you realize it, but some of us are just doing it like good students. We want the social aspect. We want others to think well of us. Ladies, it is time that we get into that Word with tears, with begging, on our knees saying, God, change me. Change me. I want to be different. I want to be a woman who lives by faith. Teach me. I need your Word. I need you. Teach me. James 1, 22 through 25. James 1, 22 through 25 says, "But be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Ladies, quit deceiving yourself. Some of you are hearing it, but you're not doing it. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his own face in a mirror, or some silly woman in a hotel room who won't look in the mirror. For she looks at herself and she goes away and right away forgets what kind of woman she was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer who acts, this person will be blessed in what he does. Did you catch that word perseverance? Ladies, it is hard. Perseverance means to do it when it's hard, to do it when it's easy, to do it when you're sick, to do it when you're mad, to do it when you're smoking, to do it when you're drunk, to do it. To do it because you're going to learn. That is how you grow in faith. I have a question for you. Do you study God's word to check it off of your to-do list? Do you have a mental to-do list that you will be a good person if you're in a Bible study, and so that's why you're in a Bible study? You stop that nonsense. If that applies to any of you, stop it. In fact, just don't go anymore if that's your only goal. Don't let God be something on your to-do list. You go because you want your heart to be changed. You're looking at treasure here. This word of God is treasure. It's filled with treasure. It's like going into the vaults where there's gazillions of something valuable, treasure, jewel, something, and you're allowed to go in there. You should handle that Bible with awe and reverence. Those are eternal treasures, eternal truths that can set you free. So you do understand I want you to be in a Bible study. Point made. Okay. Number two, to believe God, you must believe what he says is true. You must believe what you hear is true. How can you believe God if you don't believe all of what he says? Ladies, some people think that the word of God is optional, that it is a suggestion, that it is outdated, that it's true in part, but not in whole. 2 Timothy 3:17. It says, most scripture is God-breathed. Anybody awake? What does it say? How much? How much? All of scripture is God-breathed. And it is profitable for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, and training in righteousness so the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Don't you feel ill-equipped sometimes to handle life? Well, my question is, how much of the word do you believe? That's why you feel ill-equipped. You should feel ill-equipped. God gave you those feelings of fear, hopefully to drive you to the word, and you just keep running further away from it. Do you believe all of God's word? See, most of us like the part about going to heaven. Okay, well, I'll believe that. But there's other parts we won't believe. We disregard those. They don't suit your purposes. Did you know, according to a recent study done, that 50% of born-again Christians, Christ followers, believe that Christ is the only way to get to heaven for them, that faith in Christ is the only way to get to heaven for them. But remember how ugly those big buts can be. Whenever you hear the word but, you will always hear that person's truth following the but. But they also think that for other people, there are other ways to get to heaven. That's ridiculous. What do you believe? John 14:6, Jesus Christ said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one, absolutely no one, comes to the Father except through me." Does that need to be more clear for you? Either he is a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he is the God of the universe, and he is Lord God Almighty, and he means what he says. You may not go to heaven unless you believe in me. Which is it? What do you believe? You know, I don't like what he said. Can I just be honest with you? I think that sounds very intolerant, very hateful. One way? For years I struggled with that. Come on, one way? One, come on, what about the other people? Come on. And one day I fell on my knees and I said, you know what? I decided to believe all of your word. I don't have to like it because I believe it. It is true whether I like it or not. And ladies, the world would want you to think that that's exclusive. That's so exclusive because we want to be tolerant. We want to embrace everybody's faith. Thank you. That sounds silly. It is silly. It really is sad. It's pathetic. It's silly. But the Bible is not intolerant and it is not exclusive. For God so loved the entire world. God didn't just love Baptists and he just didn't love Catholics or Hindus or Buddhists or black people or white people or rich people or poor people. God so loved the entire world that he sent his one and only son that whomever, and ladies, that is not exclusive. Whomever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Ladies, this is not an exclusive religion. Do you get that? But we have got to start believing that all of God's word is true. Do you believe what God says? Do you? Tell me how strong, how healthy, how intimate, how passionate of a relationship would you have with anyone on earth if you only believed part of what they said? Do you know someone that usually lies to you? I've known a couple of people like that. I don't have a very intimate relationship with them. It's very uncomfortable. It's extremely uncomfortable. You know, it's an awful feeling to feel that you're being lied to. There's nothing worse. Could you possibly have a good relationship with anyone that did that? How in the world do you think you can have a passionate, intimate, vibrant, healthy relationship with the God of the universe, which is what he wants you to have, if you don't believe all of what he says? Think about it. Think about it. See, what you believe controls what you do. What do you believe that's not according to God's word? What voice have you believed? I hear people say things like, I believe it's okay with God for me to leave my husband. Surely he knows how unhappy I am. Oh, really? Where is that in the word of God? Thou shalt be happy. No, I don't think it's there. He didn't create you to be happy, precious one. He created you to be holy. And I'm sorry, because I wish it was the other way around. I honestly do. But he wants you to be holy, which is better. I've heard people say, well, I believe if God had wanted me to be heterosexual, he would have made me that way. Really? First of all, where does it say in the Bible that he made them heterosexual and homosexual? It doesn't say that. It said he made them male and female. You are exactly what God wanted you to be. Do you struggle with sin in that area? It's okay. We all struggle with sin in some area. God has a way of escape for you. He wants you just the way you are. Don't make excuses for your behavior. Or maybe you say, I believe God wouldn't hurt anyone. And if they're really good, he'll let them in heaven. Ladies, that is not what the Bible says. We must start believing the truth. Or maybe you say, as long as I'm not hurting anyone, that sex outside of marriage is fine. Ladies, that's not what the Bible says. It's not what it says. No wonder we're stressed out and strung out because we believe in the value of our desires and our purposes. The object of our faith is us. We're holding our world together. Everything is all up to us. Have you ever had that attitude? Everything's always up to me. Because you're making your own world and your own rules. It's up to you to figure everything out because you will not obey God's word. You will not hear God's word. You will not make it your treasure. St. Augustine said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe. It's yourself. Do you believe in yourself or do you believe in God? No wonder we live by fear because we will not believe what God says. We must believe God's word is infallible. And if you don't want to do that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your Bible I want you to get your Bible, and I want you to turn to the parts that you don't like. You know that part about forgive people. And I want you to just get a red marker, and I want you to cross it out and put, I will forgive them if they say they're sorry and if they suck up big time. And you know that part about submitting to your husband? Just get that part and cross it out. If he treats me with respect and is really nice and gets me lots of nice things, I'll think about submitting to him on good days. Some of you may say, why would you be writing in a Bible like that? Ladies, it really doesn't matter. Because you know what? You're already thinking it in your heart. That's all that matters to God. You're changing it all around in your heart. You might as well change it around in your Bible. Then you'll have your own red letter version. You'll have your own NIV, the new ignoramus version. Do you see how silly that sounds? You wouldn't dream of doing it, but ladies, you think that way. Just so you can justify your desires and your purposes rather than justifying the purposes and the plans and the desires of God Almighty. I am sick of trying to justify myself, and I want to spend the rest of my life justifying my Father's plans and His desires. And to do that, I've got to get into the Word. I've got to just eat it and get into it because I've got to know what His will is. I've got to know what He desires. I am sick of carrying out Debbie's desires. Sick of it. It has done nothing for me but lead me to be in more fear. And I'm sick of it. I'm not doing it anymore. I want to be a woman who lives by faith and pleases God. That's what I want. I'm excited. Aren't y'all excited? So to believe God, you must hear God's word. You must believe that it is all true. Number three, you've got to take His word personally. Ladies, you have got to take His word personally. John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, John 17:3, that you know Him, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. Ladies, He wants, and the word know here does, like I know George Bush. I know about him. I don't know him. I couldn't pick up the phone and call him. I mean, he wouldn't say my name if we were in public. He wouldn't see me or come up to me because I don't know him. I just know about him. This word is talking about a personal, intimate knowledge. I know you. See, I am friends with Leanne. We know one another. I don't know about her. I know her, and I want to know her better. That's what God wants with us, an intimate, passionate, personal relationship. So you've got to believe His word, and you've got to take it personally, because when whatever He says in that word is for you personally. It's for you personally. You cannot just see it from Beth Moore's perspective. You cannot just see it from Kay Arthur's perspective or Debbie Dittrich's perspective or Patrick's perspective. Ladies, you must get into it and see it for yourself. You must. And if you're not, that's why your faith is weak, because you're relying on someone else's faith in God's word. You must begin to digest God's word and grow from it. Have you ever had something in your teeth and somebody said, you got something in your teeth, and you're going, no, no, it's over there. And you're, did I get it now? And they're going, no, no, it's over here. I did that recently, and I thought, well, to heck with that. So I went and looked in a mirror, and of course, I could clearly see then how to get it out. See, that's the picture, an example of some of us with God's word. We want other people who are looking in the mirror, who are looking at the truth, to tell us, oh, well, here's where you're wrong. But see, you can't see it sometimes until you go look in the mirror of God's word, and then you can see clearly where you're off base. Do you see that? You've got to take God's word personally. Not just generally. And that should be easy because you take everything else in life personally. You big goofball, you think everything's about you and for you. You do. You honestly do. Isn't it the truth? You think everything is so personal. Get your little toes stepped on so easy and oh. You need to take that word personally. About 16 months ago, I had a woman call me, and she said, Debbie, you had told me that I could call you if I ever needed you. And she said, I need you. She said, I've just found out that my husband's been cheating on me. That's a heartbreaking phone call. It was just heartbreaking. She said, what do I do? Well, I was crying with her and for her. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says that you can leave your husband. But can I challenge you to do something first? I want you to open the Word of God. And I want you to look Jesus eyeball to eyeball and ask him, Jesus, what do you want me to do? I know that I have permission to leave. But what do you want me to do? Because my goal is not to give myself a way out, but my goal is to please you. Ladies, that's one of the hardest things imaginable. The hardest thing imaginable. And I told her how to take the word personally, which I'm going to tell you how to do the very same thing in just a minute. I told her some little ideas. She got a spiral notebook and we wrote them down. And do you know what she did? She called me later that week and she said, Debbie, this has been the hardest week of my entire life. She said, literally, I had my hands around his throat at one point and I was going to kill him. She said, it was horrible. She said, they're very wealthy. And she said, at another point, I opened his briefcase and there was his phone and all of his notes. And she said, I could have ruined him. All the information was just staring back at me. I could have ruined him. Could have gotten into his phone and all of his notes. Dead man. I'd have ruined his career. I'd have ruined everything. But right next to his phone was the Bible. And she said, I realized so clearly there's a choice to be made here. I can take matters into my own hands, pleasing myself, carrying out my desires, or I can find out what God desires and do it. You talk about hard. She did that. She said, Debbie, this has been the worst week of my life and the best. She said, I've never, ever, ever seen Jesus as intimately and as personally as I have this week. Because she got into God's word and she took it personally. Faith does not mean that you will never get pain, that you will never get cancer, that you will never get a divorce, that you will not be rejected, that you will not have loved ones die. Faith does not mean that, that you'll have health, wealth, and prosperity. It does not mean that. It just means that you have everything you need for life and godliness. In a very hard life, you will have everything you need to please God, no matter what your circumstance is. It also means if you are a Christ follower, if you're a believer in Christ, that you have the very same power that it was in Christ, that when it raised him from the dead, you have that same power within you at work. Do you realize how powerful that is? We should be doing cartwheels every day, and I can't do one, so that would, but we should be so excited about this, so excited. So I want to give you a few ways of how you can take God's word personally. In your session there, I don't know how it's worded. It says taking God's word personally. Do y'all find that? Okay. Just follow along with me. I'd rather you listen to me rather than read the notes because you have the notes. So as you're listening to me, no one understand that everything's written out that I'm saying, so you don't have to worry about it. First of all, I want you to get a spiral notebook. You know, surely you have 49 cents, and if you don't, talk to the church office. I don't know. You can get it. Talk to me. I'll give you 49 cents. You can get a spiral. Just get a cheap spiral. I want you to get a spiral, okay? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to write a verse out. I'm going to pick a verse for us, but you write out whatever verse God gives you. And I've written several in this book. In the back of the book, the very last few pages, there's about 18 or 20 scriptures that will kind of help you get started. But any scripture is fine. You got to start somewhere. So you want to write out your scripture. And here's the one I chose for my friend, Isaiah 41:10. It's in your book, so you don't have to worry about it. Isaiah 41:10. Here's what it says. Do not fear. Isn't that a great scripture for her? Do not fear. I'm with you. Don't anxiously look about you. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Boy, that's a good scripture. And I told her, I said, okay, first of all, here's what you do. You need to ask yourself this question. What does that scripture say about me? That's how you take it personally. What does it say about me? See, you do that anyway. Have you ever been with your girlfriends and you've gone up to the group later and said, what did they say about me? What did they say about me? See, you do think everything's about you. So when you come to God's word, you need to ask the very same question. What does it say about me? Here's what it says about me. It says, don't be afraid and don't be anxious. Those are things that I'm supposed to do. All through God's word, we're constantly being told, don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Then we need to ask ourselves, what does it say about God? Because we want to know God. You can't trust him. You can't have faith in him unless you know him intimately and passionately. So one of your goals must be, as you get into that word, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know everything about you. Did you ever write notes in high school to a boy? And you just would go get beside yourself when he wrote you a note. And you just pour over it. You'd practically have it memorized, every little detail. Because you wanted to know him. That's the way we need to feel about God's word. This is my chance. This is all the information I need to know you. To love you more. To believe in you. So what does it say about God? In this particular verse, it says, he is with me. He is my God. Ladies, that's personal. He will help me. He will strengthen me. He will uphold me. And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a big, fat dictionary. Not a little, teeny, tiny, pocket-sized one. Forget that, okay? I mean a big, fat one. Go to the half-price bookstore. Look at garage sales. Go to any place. You need a big, fat dictionary. And I want you to define those words. Now, here's what I'd rather have you do. I'm just going to be totally honest. I would much rather you look up these words in the Greek. And for those of you that are going, oh, the Greek? It is so easy, anybody could do it. I did not go to college, I had one semester. I am still trying to figure out how to put that behind my name. You know, some people have degrees behind their name. I want that one semester behind my name. I want a little credit. Anyway, anybody could do this. Anybody can do this. It is so easy. Leanne can show you. I can show you at the break. It is so easy. You need just about two more books to look it up in the Greek, and you would love it. But I don't think you're going to do that. Most of you don't want to do that. So get the dictionary. Get a big, fat one, because you want to understand what God means. So here's what you do. You get the dictionary, and you begin to look up the different words, even words that you know. For instance, let's look at some. Look at the word fear. Now, you would not probably want to look up the word fear because you think, well, I know what that means. No, no, no. Those are the exact words you do need to look up so that you understand what God means. In this case, fear means afraid, agitation caused by nearness of danger, evil, or pain. Doesn't that describe fear? Nearness of danger, nearness of evil, nearness of pain. That's fear. Doesn't that let you know, wow, God's on the same page with me. He understands when I'm afraid. Anxious. It means uneasy, worried, choking. That's the definition, choking. To give pain. My friend, her husband cheating on her, she said, wow, this is just how I feel. I feel like I'm choking. Do you see how great this is when you look up these words? Help. Oh, I love the word help. To give one in need, to give someone in need something necessary, such as relief. Isn't that what you want is relief? To give assistance. And all this is in your book. It's all written down for you, so don't worry about it. Strengthen. The word means power to resist strain and stress. Do you want to be strengthened and have the power to resist strain and stress? I do. How are you going to get that kind of strength? From the word. I love this. Uphold. It means to hold up, to support, to keep you from falling. Do you love that or what? God's going to keep me from falling. I love that. And then I want you to do this. I want you to rewrite that whole scripture or whatever scripture you're working with in your own words using some of those definitions. And I want you to make it personal, putting your name in there and personal pronouns. Here's the example of the very same scripture that I personalized. Debbie, don't be afraid of danger. I'm your God. Don't be uneasy and worried, Debbie. You choke out my truth when you do that. I will give you that which is necessary for relief and assist you. I will give you my power to resist the strain and the stress. This energizes me just reading it. Debbie, I will hold you up and keep you from falling. I will support you with my hand, which always does what is right. Do you love that? Do you see how you take that scripture and now it's mine? Now I can walk in it. I'm empowered. I'm strengthened. Now I know what's in my account, and my account is full. Would you say that with me? My account is full. My account is full. Ladies, your account is full. You just don't know it because you don't look at it, because you don't take it personally. The next thing you do is you meditate on it. You meditate on that verse. We're going to discuss that next in greater detail, but you're going to be meditating and thinking about not the voices in your head that you hear that are telling you lies, but you're going to be thinking about the voice of God, the voice of truth, and you're going to make yourself say it over and over and over again. And maybe you only want to use one verse a week. Just take that one verse and read it over and over. Maybe every day write out that verse. Do you know at the end of a week you'd have that verse memorized, if not in a few days? It's so easy, ladies. And when you, do you realize if you just took one verse a week for the rest of this year, at the end of a year you would have memorized 52 verses, 52 treasures that can change your life, change the others' lives around you, that can give you everything you need for life and godliness. Number four fact, to believe God, you must meditate on His Word. You've got to meditate on His Word. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Ladies, you're constantly thinking about something. Words are so powerful. We talked about that in the retreat 18 months ago. That's the copy that's out there. Words are so powerful. How you think in your mind and how you talk to yourself. What you're concentrating on. And if you are meditating on all of your words and all of your fears and all of your doubts and all of your confusion, you cannot live by faith, but you'll be living by fear. Because your fear will control you. All day long, you're thinking about the words of your friends, or your husband, or your children, or your parents, or your enemies, or Oprah. Or total strangers. Has a stranger ever said something to you and you think about it the rest of the day? Why did she tell me that? Why did he say that to me? Isn't that crazy? And you just meditate on it all day long. The word of a total stranger whom you'll never see again bothers you. That's the way we're made. And what we need to do is implant the powerful word of God in our heart and mind. So that is what we'll be thinking about. That is how we'll be deriving power. That is how we'll become living by faith. And you do that. Meditation is simply taking God's word personally and thinking about it all day long. Those little notes that you used to get from your boyfriend, that's what you did. You thought about it all day long. That's meditation. It's talking to yourself about something all day long. When you memorize God's word, then you can meditate on it. Ladies, you cannot meditate unless you memorize God's word. Here's another tip to help you. Have you ever seen these little spiral index books? They're cheap too. You write your verse out here. They have smaller ones. And I carry this with me everywhere because they're my favorite verses. They're ones I'm working on. So I can just pull it out of my purse or my briefcase and I can go over it. I can't tell you how much I derive strength from these. And how it helps me memorize God's word. So you've got to memorize God's word to meditate on God's word and to say it over and over and over and over again, not based on how you feel, but on what God says. Ladies, that's how you begin to believe God. Colossians 3:1-4. It says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. See, we don't do that because we're too busy seeking the temporary things of this world. We've got to set our minds, our focus on the things above, not the things that are here. They're just temporary, ladies. Set your minds on the things above, not the things on earth. Ladies, that's meditating. Fixing your mind on the things of Christ. My friend did that. All that week and since, she has meditated on God's truth, not the truth that her husband is a cheater. She didn't play those tapes over and over and over again. We talked about that about a year and a half ago, how you can imagine things in your mind. And she did. She said, you know, I want to imagine him with that other woman, and it just makes me want to vomit. And she said, but I don't do that. I make myself meditate on God's truth and God's word, not my words, not my imagination. Do you see that? That was 16 months ago. I just heard from her recently, and you know what she said? We've never been happier. She said, my husband has become a man of God. Everything I ever prayed for him and for our marriage, has come true. She said, he loves God's word. That changed him. And she really had a hard time. She did go through a really hard time. It's not been easy for her. She said, I wanted that from him, but not that way. But she said, I had to realize that God did allow that. God allowed it. I don't like it, but I'm following Jesus. My faith is in him, not in the fact that my husband is faithful. Do you see that, ladies? Oh, ladies, there's so much truth here. Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, says, if you can worry, you can meditate. That's what meditation is. It's just thinking about something over and over and over again. J.I. Packer in the book, Knowing God, that's a great book, by the way, Knowing God. Meditation, he says, is the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling on and applying to oneself the various things that one knows about the works and the ways and the purposes and the promises of God. It's a matter of talking to oneself about God and oneself. It is indeed often a matter of arguing with oneself, reasoning oneself out of moods of doubt and unbelief into a clear apprehension of God's power and grace. I love that. This is hard. It's not easy. Many times I'm shaking and crying and disturbed and nauseous because something has terrified me. And I make myself say the truth of God. God is able to make all grace abound to me so that in all things, at all times, having all that I need, I will abound in every good work. Is that enough for you? See, that's enough. My account is full and so is yours. I often get really scared before retreats. Although that's changed too since February. That's amazed me. But last year I was going to do a retreat and I woke up crying. I woke up so terrified. And you know what that voice was saying in my head? You need to stop talking. You need to quit speaking to women. No one cares what you have to say. You're an idiot and you look horrible. You're getting old, you're fat, you need to stop it. No one wants to see you or hear you. You have that same voice. That's why I'm telling you what my voice says. You have the same voice. And I did was cry and cry and cry. And then I wanted to call for prayer, but I was too embarrassed to call for prayer. See how evil this is? And then I realized that is stupid. I am calling some prayer partners because I need them to pray for me so that I can grab hold of what's in my account because it is full whether I believe it or not. And they did, and it was just almost instantly. I now begin saying the word over and over again, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to me so that in all things, at all times, having all that I need, I will abound in every good work. Do you see that, ladies? I talked myself out of that mood. Do you know what really struck me as unusual? I shared this at that retreat. This beautiful, gorgeous, tall, thin woman in her early 20s, came up to me sobbing. She said, I had the very same thoughts. She was one of the singers, and she said, I didn't want to come sing because I felt so ugly and so stupid and so inadequate. See, we're all the same. Every one of you here has those same thoughts. We've got to live by God's word, not the words we say to ourselves. See, that's how we write a check on his resources. Because the account's full. The account is full. Number 5, we believe God by praying according to God's word. We need to be women that pray according to God's word. Ladies, prayer is our greatest asset. It strengthens our belief in what God says. I have found myself, especially this last year of such worry, saying stupid things like, well, I guess all I can do is pray. I'm just limited to prayer. So pathetic. Oh, my gracious. That's just crazy. Prayer is our privilege. It's a way of tapping into the power of God right here, right now, tapping into the eternal life, the eternal powers. Oh, we need to pray and pray and pray. See, most of us pray like we're leaving a message on an answering machine. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm really busy, and sometimes, I hate to admit this, but I'll just be honest with you. I will call you when I know you're not there. Because I don't want a relationship with you. I don't want to talk to you. I just want to leave a message because I got other things to do. I just want to call you up and say, okay, Tricia, bring donuts tomorrow at 9 o'clock. If you have any questions, call me. You know, that's what I don't want to say, hi, Tricia, how are you doing? How's it going? I don't have time. I just say, bring the donuts. So some of us do that like God. We do that to God, and we say, oh, dear God, help me with my energy. My checking account's really low. Okay, help me. I've got a pimple. Let's see. Oh, help my kids be better. Help my husband. Oh, gosh, help my husband clean the house. Okay, well, Lord, if you have any questions, call me back. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that silly to talk to God that way? The God of the universe. James 4:3 says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you can spend it on your pleasures. Most of our prayers have to do with our health, our finances, our husbands or the lack thereof, our children or the lack thereof. All the time. It's always about us. So that we can spend it on our pleasures. In the Greek, the word pleasure, the synonym for the Greek word pleasure is the Greek word desire. Remember we said last night, your desires will cause you to doubt God. Your desires are what you usually are bringing to God. I want this. I want that. My husband needs a new job. We need a new house. I need a new car. I want to lose 50 pounds. It's all about me. See, most of us don't believe that God answers prayers because we don't ask him for the right things. If one of your children came to you right now and said, hey, I'm wanting to have a party this weekend. Can you get me a keg? And I'd like some marijuana, and I'd like a live rock band too, and probably we need some heroin. I would think, you know, some people might do. What would you do? No. That's not your will, is it? You're not going to give that child his will, because why? You know it's not correct. See, we don't know how to pray according to the will of our Father. We sound just like foolish teenagers so often. And we could be asking for the true treasures. What if your child came to you and said, Mom, I want to learn about God. Would you teach it to me? I don't think I know him. Mom, I want to go to church. Mom, I want to go to the youth group. Mom, I want to stay pure. I want to be a virgin so badly. Would you please help me? Would you deny your child any of those requests? Of course not. Because he's asking according to your will, and you're ready and willing and able to give him what he wants. Your Father in heaven is the same way. Do you even know what his will is so you can ask for it? See, most of us want God to fix other people. How many of you ask him to change you, to fix you? Let me give you something that has really helped me. See, like that house that was for sale forever. 16 months. By the way, I'll just share with y'all, yesterday, 2 weeks ago, we got another contract on that house, and I don't get excited about contracts anymore. I don't get ready to buy the new bra. That one, we signed it 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, yeah, we'll see. And last night, or yesterday afternoon, they faxed the papers to us at closing. We signed our little part, faxed it back, and we've not heard from them. So, Lord willing, that house now belongs to someone else. Praise God. Oh, praise God. But you know what? All those months I was wanting that house sold. And so isn't that our typical prayer request? Lord, please sell that house. And I did pray for that. It's okay to ask for those things. But I try to figure out what is the underlying need that I really have. See, I'm looking for security and peace. The house will, if it's sold, will give me a sense of security and peace and hope. Those are things I can ask God of. Do you see that? Get to the bottom line of what you're really wanting. You think you need a better job or more money or better health? What are you really looking for that to bring you? That's what you can ask for, because you'll always get that. Do you see what I'm saying? You can ask for, God, I need security, and I want it to be in you, not whether I have money in the bank. Lord, I need peace. And I need it to be in you, not in the fact that my messages are written. Lord, I need peace. I don't need it to be in the way I look. I need it to be in the way you look. I want to present you to people, not me to people. Do you see that? And ladies, he answers those prayers every single time because you're asking according to his will. And guess what? The account's full. Say that with me. The account is full. If you ask according to your will, it's yours. It's a done deal. Every single time. And you'll continue to need to be asking continually. Did you get patience when you asked for it? You'll need to probably ask for it again in about an hour or so, depending on your needs. Seriously, you don't eat once a day and that's the end of it. You don't look in the mirror once a day and that's the end of it. You don't get dressed in the morning and that's the end of it. You have to continually change your clothes and change your makeup. That's what we do every day. That's what you must do with the Word of God. And that's what you must do in prayer. You could ask for things like, Lord, teach me to please you by faith. I didn't have a mentor. All I knew to do was go to God and ask him for what I wanted. And instead of being afraid, I think sometimes we stop and say, well, I can't memorize scripture. You stop talking like that and say, Lord, I have a hard time memorizing scripture. Would you please help me? When you hear yourself saying, I just don't have much faith. You stop that nonsense. Say the truth. Lord, I need faith. I don't know what else to do except to ask you to give it to me. I want to grow in faith. People say, well, I'd like to lead people to Christ, but you know, that's just not me. I don't have that. Then ask for it. He wants you to do that. Every one of you should be trying to reach people for Christ. Lord, teach me to train others to follow you, to be disciples, to understand salvation by grace. What about prayer? Do you feel like, well, I just don't think I know how to pray. That's just not me. Then pray to learn how to pray. Do you see all the things you can be asking for, ladies? Ask him to help you believe his word. Maybe you're stuck there. I just don't believe it's all true. Then pray, Lord, if it is true, help me believe that it's all true. He's a promise-making, promise-keeping, lavish, gift-giving God, and he has all the treasures of heaven he wants to give you in his word. But we never ask him for those. We want the treasures of this world. This is a great example of a great prayer. Ephesians 1:17-20. Ephesians 1:17-20. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See how you could take that and say, Lord, I want a spirit of wisdom. I want a spirit of knowledge about you. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints? Have you ever said, God, give light in my heart? I want light in my heart. And I want to pray for the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his vast strength. Have you ever prayed, Lord, I want to experience your immeasurable power? He demonstrated that power in the Messiah by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in heaven. Ladies, you have access, and I have access to that power. And that access, the door is prayer. And the treasure is the word of God. You can believe God by hearing his word, by believing that every single word is true, by taking his word personally, by meditating on that word, by memorizing that word, and by praying according to God's word. We went to Haiti a few years ago, and I want to tell you just very briefly about some things I saw there. One afternoon as I was walking through this very hot, very dirty, very dusty village, there was this little ditch, maybe this deep, and water was running through it. I don't know where I don't know what the source of the water was, but the color of this water was pretty putrid. And in this ditch, I saw several things. I saw a pig wallowing in it. I saw another woman downstream washing her clothes in it. I saw another woman, she was naked from the waist up. She was taking her daily bath. And I saw a little boy get a bowl and scoop some of that water out and walk away. I don't even want to know what he was going to do with that water. Would any of you want to drink from that filthy water? Anyone? No. It's filthy, full, it's disgusting, it's polluted. You would never dream of drinking from a stream like that. And yet, what polluted source does your heart drink from day after day that leaves you sick and more thirsty? Jeremiah 2:13 says, "My people have committed two sins against me. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. And they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that can't hold water." Do you see that picture? We won't go to God's word, but we'll go to everybody else's word, drinking from a filthy, nasty, polluted water source instead of going to the living water. And you wonder why you're sick and afraid and don't believe God? It's the same reason Haitians die from polluted water. Your heart is dying from the pollution that you are drinking in every day because you will not go to the living water. And it is time to stop it. I also saw a news special on television that just shocked me. There were these little girls. Again, it was in Haiti. This was just about a year ago. And it was showing how they would take some of that mud from those little ditches into this huge bowl. They would go into the street and lay out newspaper, and they would take a big spoon and they would plop that mud onto this newspaper and make little pancakes out of it. It looked like little pancakes. And she was doing, they were all these little round cakes, maybe 50 of them laying on this newspaper. And then she would let it dry in the sun and bake. And then she would sell it for a penny. Now, why did she do that? Because people in Haiti are starving to death. Now, that is not nutritious, and it will not keep them alive, but you know what it will do? It will stop the hunger for a little bit. It'll stop the hunger just for a little bit. Won't keep them alive, but they won't hurt so bad. What clay cakes are you eating? Running around all over town trying to satisfy yourself with your desires, your little foolish clay cakes. They're not nutritious. They won't give you any power. They just temporarily relieve some of the pain in your life. Why will you not pick up this word of God, the bread of life, and eat and be full and be satisfied and be powerful and live by faith and not by fear and not by sickness? There was another man in Haiti, an old man, and he was dying of starvation. My friend did a revival there. And this old man came up to him. He had the treasure. He was a Christ follower. He knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he was starving to death. And he came up to my friend and he said, "Brother, I'm starving to death. And if you give me bread to eat today, I'll just be hungry again tomorrow. And I'm going to die anyway. But if you give me the bread of life tonight, even if I die, I will live. Give me the bread, brother. Give me the bread." He knows what the treasure is. Do you? Do you know what the treasure is? Do you know why your life isn't working out? Because you will not go to the source of truth. You will not cling to it and hold to it and love it and seek it out. And that's why you're dying in your heart. That's why you live in fear. Because you won't live by faith in this word. Do you want to live by faith? Then you must live by this word. I have a completely new awe of it. It's beat silver and gold. I can't even tell you. I know the treasure now. And my account is full. And I want to know more of what's in it. What about you? Will you take a 30-day challenge? Nobody's going to have to raise your hand, but I want you to think a minute in your heart. Will you take a 30-day challenge and promise and commit to spend 15 minutes a day hearing God's word and taking it personally so that you can have faith and believe in God and please him? Just 15 minutes a day. Would you commit to that? Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I just commit these women to you, and I ask that your Holy Spirit would convict them, would convince them, would challenge them, would train them and teach them and rebuke them and exhort them, Lord, to get into your word. to see it for what it really is, that it's the true treasure. It is what is valuable. It is worthy of being sought after. Lord God, would you do that? I pray that every single woman here will take this challenge personally and spend at least 15 minutes a day for 30 days in your word. We just ask this in your name. Amen.